Hello, this is Javier Mendoza, and welcome back to the Connection Podcast. We are so excited to have you back in November. This is an amazing month to be so thankful for so many different things. And for one, we are thankful for you. We're thankful for you tuning in to this podcast. We're thankful for your partnership and your friendship. And today we actually have a very special episode of the Connection Podcast. Where we will share a kind of an interview, or basically it was a panel discussion that Danielle and I were able to lead at the LINC conference. That's L-I-N-C, LINC conference, just in September. And so we've gotten the audio from that interview panel, where we are leading a discussion with six pretty amazing pastors and leaders. And it's titled The World in Your Backyard. So you'll get to hear from some really awesome people, we think, who are doing some really amazing things. And so we just wanted to bring this to you and allow you to kind of get a peek into some of the things that Danielle and I get to do on a regular basis, and to also hear from some of the amazing people who we get to meet and kind of work alongside and partner with at times. And so without further ado, we will shoot right over to this recorded live panel discussion from LINC Conference now. So thank you. My name is Javier Mendoza.
I'm Danielle Mendoza.
And we get the honor of leading an organization called Connect Global. We've been doing missions together for almost 20 years, and we have done primarily most of our work in Central America. But what we have been able to find over the years is that empowering the local church, the local leaders, local pastors and pioneers in any mission is really what the Great Commission's about. And so we've been able to now establish and send missionaries out of Central America to other parts of the world, towards the 1040 window, towards some unreached people groups. And so that's kind of what we get to do. We have the honor and privilege of leading that organization now. And so today, we have the supreme privilege of sitting amongst these amazing giants in the ministry. I know none of them will like me saying that, but that's why I put them in that place, is because they are all amazing. Here at LINC, we've been able to get an opportunity to hear from them, to learn more about their ministries and their, you know, who they are. And that's what LINC's all about. It's all about relationships. It's not just about hearing speakers or hearing great word. We do have that as well. But it's really about all the in-between space. It's about being able to know each other, be known by each other, and that's one of the great things about LINC. And so I'll let them introduce themselves, and then we'll kind of introduce the topic and kind of what this means and what we'll be talking about. So let's just start down there, and we'll go all the way across.
Well, I'm Greg Molchan, and
Leah,
and we represent the Grand Rapids Dream Center today.
My name is Jeremy, and this is my wife,
Tasha.
We are the lead pastors at Pioneer Church in downtown Memphis. We just celebrated 6 years this past Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
And my name is Quan, and this is my wife.
Beth.
I was going to make us mix it up just to do it differently. But, yeah. But and we are the pastors at Life Mission Church, Kansas City, Kansas, and we are with Pastor Clint Sprague, who's Life Mission Church, and his original campus is in Olathe, Kansas.
I'll let Danielle introduce the topic and talk a little bit about that.
Well, first I wanted for every couple to introduce more about yourselves. So share how long you've been married, how many children you have. Okay, we don't have to be here till next week, but, you know, give us an idea of who you are as people and, you know, that
Greg
sort of
started
thing.
The just Greg and Leah, Grand Rapids Dream Center, and everybody else followed. So actually, we will be married on Friday, 23 years, which is amazing.
Yes.
Pretty awesome. Yes. And we have three children. We have been with Grand Rapids Dream Center. It will be, it's
close to 10
years,
yeah.
Which is amazing. And so we love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just add, it's such a privilege and an honor. We truly are co-heirs together inside of this, and that's one of the dynamic things that we get to do to be a part of this movement, And so, yeah, it's an honor. So is that a little bit? I don't want to mess the trend up.
We're going to get you later.
Okay.
So you kind of introduced, but we, like you said, planted Pioneer Church in downtown Memphis 6 years ago. It was like the official launch. But we started in our living room about 7 years ago, and then we officially launched 6. Next Wednesday, actually, we will celebrate 10 years of marriage. And yeah, September awesome. Anniversaries. We have 3 daughters, 6, 4, and 2.
Pray for me.
Yes. Yes, and they just keep us on our toes all the time. Yeah. And they're actually here, but they're with his mom somewhere doing something fun.
I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. Moved to Memphis 13 years ago. My home church is the Brooklyn Tabernacle, so come from, I believe, is good stock.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So Javier and I have been married for 17 years now, 17 years. Which is hard to believe for me because I don't feel that old.
Yeah. I look that, but she doesn't.
Yeah, and there's not that big of an age gap, so don't think it's a weird thing. he just has gray hair. I'm sorry. Yes. What can I say? But we have a precious little girl. She's 13, and we have served on the mission field, like you said, for 20 years together. And we've also lived overseas serving on the mission field with our little girl. But we have like a true heart and passion for missions. But equally paired with that, we have a heart for inspiring leaders in the church to have that same passion. Whether it's at home or abroad, we are very passionate about trying to light that fire to get people motivated to kind of move outside of their building.
All right, well, Quan and I, it's so funny. So Quan and I were married 23 years last Friday.
September.
I know.
September anniversary party.
A week before you. Yeah. And we have 3 kids. Our oldest son got married a lot in July, so that's crazy. And then a daughter who's just graduated high school. So we had a busy last 3 months. And then our youngest is 11 and just started middle school, which is crazy. But we've been a part of Life Mission Church for 20 years. The church has been around for 21 this September. We came on about a year after and have got to just grow with Life Mission. It really is a very missional-minded church. Mission is in there for a reason and a purpose. So we've got to grow up in this beautiful culture of just being really missional-minded, locally and globally. And so the Lord called us to the Kansas City, Kansas campus just last July. So we've been there just over a year, which the Lord immediately just put on our hearts that community, gave us a heart for that community, gave us a vision for that community. And so as we stepped into that campus, it just came with that campus to just think outside of the church and think for a heart for the community and how can we impact a community for a country, really, just the community for the city and the city for the country. And so that's really the vision that the Lord has given us for Kansas City.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, guys. So that's the point of this session, of this link talk, is to hear from stories from people who are doing it. They are living what they say. We talked about it on one of our planning calls, from the stage to the streets. I think maybe Greg brought that into the discussion, but it's not about the platform. It's about the people. It's about how do we reach the people that are right near us. On one of the most recent gathering grows for the Link Ministry, they talked about how there's so many opportunities just within our cities, within our states, just within this nation, to literally reach the world, to impact nations, because the nations, in case anyone hasn't noticed, are here. The nations have come to us, right? And so just as our president, Juan Varican, was just talking about, how do we figure out ways in which to bring the Great Commission to fulfillment? How do we find ways to bring the love and the care and the passion of Jesus to where people are? Because we have beautiful buildings and we have beautiful settings. I know that all of these guys are very good at setting the stage, so to speak, to usher in the Holy Spirit, to usher in people, to usher in just the presence of the Lord. But I also know that this group was picked because you guys are doing it everywhere. You don't wait for Sunday. You don't wait for a special occasion. You guys have actually done the hard work. So I want to kick it off and ask, what are some of those hard days like? What are some of those things? What does it look like to actually take it from our curated, well-prepared messages on Sundays to an event or to an outreach or even just to a conversation when we're going to grab dinner downtown? What does that look like?
Well, man, you put it so well. I feel like for us, the Lord actually had to, it's like when we first got saved, can anybody go back what that felt like and how overcome you were? And you were ready just to do anything for Jesus, right? And then God launches you, and it's an honor to be in ministry, but then we found ourselves in a place where God was challenging us to get into the messy. Like, I felt like early on, we were so willing to do that, and then we got our well, finely tuned systems and what we experienced in ministry, and then God was awakening us to all this need inside of our city, and it was like, it was almost like going back to our roots. And getting boots on the ground, and then, you know, are we willing to embrace that? And I don't know if you want to speak a little bit to what that felt like for you.
Well, I think that, you know, I look back at when God really called us into the city of Grand Rapids. We launched when Greg and I were just driving through and feeling the call. We really launched in like one of the, it had a mobile station police, you know, like just like basically you talk to the neighbors and they're like, oh, and this basketball court, and we have some of our team here. They would say, like, literally there is either a shooting or a stabbing every single night. And so we just felt really drawn to that. And what did that look like? And I think that, like, sometimes we can overcomplicate, or people are like, what's your secret sauce? Like, what do you do? And I'm like, it's actually really simple. Like, it's just going to the people. Like, yeah. It's just going. It's not a secret sauce. It's not like I have to figure this out. Like, Beth and I were talking about this just before the we started, and God just honors our obedience of courage and just going and being in the neighborhood and stuff like that. So I don't even know if I answered the question correctly.
It was awesome.
Yes. Jeremy, why don't you guys jump in and tell us a little bit about the setting that you're in, the calling that you originally had to meet in this place, and tell us about your name. Tell us about your church name and discuss that.
As you guys know, anything that is cool and holy should come from your wife. So if you're like, our name came from that. You want to talk about it? You could talk about it.
Yeah, so the name Pioneer Church, I remember even before we planted, before we even knew we wanted to plant a church, to be honest, the Lord dropped the name Pioneer in my heart, just based off the scripture that He is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And I just thought that was so cool, just like caught my attention. And so I kind of put it in my back pocket. I was like, maybe for a ministry, because our original vision was to be young adult pastors, right? And then the Lord called us to plant a church. And at first I was not okay with that. I was like, no, I don't think so. Have you seen us, God? Like, we are not qualified for this. But also it being in Memphis, I was not okay with that either, because I had grown up there and he had moved from Memphis or from Brooklyn. What?
And if you haven't seen Memphis on the news, Memphis, Memphis is a tough place. Memphis, but I love it because Memphis is a modern day Nazareth, okay? When people say nothing good comes from Memphis, I'm like, well, Jesus came from Nazareth, so we're in good stock. So if you think like you're in a bad place, it's okay. Jesus was from Nazareth.
Yeah, but I had been there my whole life, born and raised. So I was like, okay, well, if we're going to plant a church, this is my ticket out of this place, okay? And then the Holy Spirit had other plans. So, and specifically to go downtown, because there were only old churches, you know, very historical, beautiful cathedral buildings. There was not a lot of life-giving churches. And so we knew that is where we needed to be. And on two separate occasions, the Holy Spirit had us down there by ourselves. And I remember just walking around downtown and my heart just began to break as I saw how we call them houseless, our houseless friends, because Memphis is their home. They just don't have a house. I saw houseless people walking around, people who were just on drugs or whatever, just out of their mind. And God just really began to give me a compassion for those people. And so what the vision was is to bring life downtown and bring life to places that are barren, because that is often what the Lord calls you to. And so we knew we were going to be pioneering. And so the word, the name Pioneer, like, okay, well, this is it. This is it for what the Lord has us do to do. And our logo is an orange flag. And we literally have just placed a flag downtown and just like claimed it for the kingdom of God. And so that's what we're doing. And just to share a little bit about what we do is we really didn't want to reinvent the wheel of what was already happening. So we have partnered recently with one of the Presbyterian churches downtown, and we get to feed our houseless brothers and sisters, give them clothes, all that kind of stuff. And I think that is really life-giving too, is the churches coming together and just really serving the community, because it's not about the name Pioneer. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom. And so we wanted to have that as the focus as we helped serve the people down there.
That's really good. I'll tell you guys this. There is no formula. There is no formula. The moment you buy into someone else's formula, you've lost your divine imprint of what God's called you to do.
Yeah.
And so now we did borrow resources, but we didn't take anyone's formula, because we were like, Lord, who are the people that you're calling? Because what's going to work in Kansas City may or may not work in Memphis. And what works with the Dream Center may or may not. And so it's good to see ideas, but it's like, Lord, what are you calling? Like, we're about 4 minutes off of Beale Street. So how we reached some of the people were like, well, people in bars need Jesus too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what we did was we ordered 650 coasters and dropped them off at bars that had our church, our logo and our church address and what time they can come. Because people who are drinking need Jesus too. And so those are some ways, like just contextualizing your ministry and seeing like, okay, what's around me? What are people? So if you're in a college area, like what are college students? What do they want right now? What can I put in their hand? You know, and then we also like bought an exorbitant amount of pens and hand them out to waiters and waitresses, right? Because that's something that they're always going to need. Yeah. And so that's really, really like what we're doing. And yeah, Tasha's 100% right. It's just that someone asked me that last week. They're like, what's the formula in getting people to the church?
Right.
And I was just like, you love people? Yeah. You ever invite them to your house to eat dinner? No. Start there.
Yep.
Right? So, because we found, and I'm working on a project, but we found that people, like anytime Jesus went to a house, because he went to the house of a Pharisee and he went to the house of all these people, Jesus quickly went from guest to host. So in the same context for you guys, like you guys need to go from guest to host real quick, wherever you are, because you have the Holy Spirit in you and the Holy Spirit hosts. And so we just started inviting people to our house. Like, that's not a formula. That's just what the Bible says. We started with 8 people in our house. And, like, the year when we started just having dinner and just like, here's my crazy kids. Here's our crazy house. Let's eat. Like, our church just kind of grew from that, because people got to see us not in the pastoral role, but as a person.
Yeah.
So,
Quan and Beth, I want to know a little bit more about the origin and how you got to where you're at. I know that you also mentioned the letters of your city. I know that there's a divine inspiration there. I want to say, too, all of us know, because we live it every day, but I want to make sure to say this, is that ministry is not marketing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These things are not done to market ourselves to the community. That's a clever idea, to put those coasters in front of people, because that's very functional. That's going to meet people where they are. But we have to realize that we are not marketers, we're ministers. And so if we're going to go and reach these people, the Holy Spirit can absolutely download divine mission and vision and understanding of what it is that we're called to do. But we are not marketers, we're ministers.
Amen. Amen. I just want to first just say how honored it is for us to be here with you guys and for all of you as well, because this is just such a special thing that we get to do. You know, what God is calling us to do is sacred and is holy.
Yeah.
And it's just a blessing. You know, I want to also just highlight the fact that what Jeremy was talking about, that there's no formula, and we all are called to be our representation in the body of Christ. That's really what this is about. And so I just am thankful that we get to share our little piece of that. But what Javier was talking about is, you guys see my shirt. I'm repping my KC shirt. We love repping KC stuff in Kansas City. If you don't know, you go anywhere, you can find KC shirts. But a few years back, I was just in a really a deep place with the Lord where something tragic had happened to me, actually. And the Lord was speaking to me about that, but he took me on a journey to give me this word, and it was a revelation. He said, Quan, when I see the letters Kansas, when I see the letters KC, I don't simply see Kansas City, I see Kingdom Come. And that's how I want you to see it from this day forward. No longer look and see with your natural eyes, see with your spiritual eyes, see how I see. Ask me to have my heart for this city. Ask me to have my vision for this city and to see. And he started me on this journey when I was pastoring in Olathe. And so I was thinking that was the metro, like Kansas City Metro. You right? Like we all root for the Chiefs. It's just Kansas City. And later on, about 2 years later, is when he said, no, I actually meant Kansas City. You're going to go to Kansas City and you're going to bring that vision. I was going to share this verse with you guys because it really speaks to what all of us are here to do. It's Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. You guys have heard, where there is no vision, the people perish, right? But I love this translation in the New King James because it says, where there is no revelation. What that really means is prophetic vision from God, prophetic word of the Lord. And so when we went to Kansas City, it wasn't because we had, like Javier said, a good marketing scheme because we wanted to make T-shirts. It was because the Lord said that he saw something and he spoke it out to me. And so when the Lord does that, it means he's about to do something. All throughout Scripture, when the Lord's going to do something, he'll speak it out and then he will perform it. And so that's what he did. And so something is being birthed in our city. And he's called us to bring the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven to our city. I think it's awesome that you also mentioned Memphis, like Nazareth, because the Lord showed us. And so in Kansas City, there's kind of this thing that's existed for a long time where Kansas City, Missouri is kind of like the big brother, and Kansas City, Kansas is like the little stepbrother. And like the Chiefs Stadium and the Royal Stadium, they're all in Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Kansas has like the minor league baseball team. We do have Sporting, but does anybody? Okay, so, no, I love Sporting. And so, but it's just kind of this thing. But then the Lord started talking to us even about the firstborn. And all throughout Scripture, the firstborn was supposed to be the one to fulfill the promise. Adam was the first Adam. But the one that fulfilled the promise was Jesus, the second Adam. The secondborn is the one that God is going to use even in our city. He told us this, to fulfill the purpose. So Kansas City, Missouri is the firstborn. KCK is the secondborn. And we have the favor and the anointing of God to fulfill his purpose. So when we go out into our city, we're not going just to do things. We're going on a word of the Lord, believing in victory for something that hasn't even been dreamed in the hearts of the people. But it's our honor to bring that revelation to reality.
Yeah, and I would just even add to that, like, it's so strong in my heart. Like, the calling, like, we're all called, right, biblically, to our communities. That's just the calling that we all have. As people, not even just leaders in a church. But then Quan said it, I think, really well, too. It's like the heart, even praying for the heart, for your community. Like, God has literally like, Kansas City wasn't even, like, a blip in our mind, like, a few years ago. Like,
we lived there for 23 years.
Yeah, wow. Never even, like, went there, really. Like, we just, and then the Lord really just, like, started with that vision that Quan just shared. And then as we began to pray into that and heard the Lord saying, go, like, he just transformed our hearts and, like, literally just would weep for that community and for those people. And so I would even, like, offer that to you guys. Like, we all are called to the communities that the Lord has placed us in. And now just pray into, like, having a heart for those people. Like, let your heart break for them. Because as your heart begins to break for them, like, you're going to open up this, this ability the Lord has to just start to give you vision for what he's calling you to. Like, Quan and I practically haven't even sought out anything. Like, the Lord has literally brought, like, just random meetings of people and, like, has just, like, he's done it. We've just been faithful and obedient to say, yes, Lord, whatever you're calling us to, our heart breaks for this community. Like, and one of our biggest ways just practically has been community partners, to be honest. Like, just ministries, community partners, people that are already there doing things, but that people don't know about. Like, how do we bring all these amazing community resources and to the community, like that the community doesn't even know that they're there. And like, how do we support them? How do we help them? Like, I don't know, practically, like, what does that look like? And we can get in deeper later about like the ways that we're doing that. But yeah, it's just been beautiful.
Yes, please. I'll make
it. So the one, because that was awesome, by the way. The only thing I was going to say is, you know, we all have a different part. So the Lord told us that there are plenty of people, and I'm so thankful, like the Dream Center. We have a Dream Center like just a few miles from us in Kansas City, and it actually started from people in our Olathe campus church, which is amazing. And homeless ministry, we have that going out of the church. But the Lord told us that we are to be, what Beth just said, a real catalyst for connection in the body of Christ, to bring life to a lifeless body and to bring water into a dry land. And so we have to remember the things that the Lord has spoken to us. And like Johnny said this morning, stay in our lane. Be faithful to run our race and finish strong.
That's good. Very good. Yes, and I do want to dig into some tactical things. So think about that for a second, because there's a little known book called Start With Why. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that in this room. But we know our why, right? We're in this room, baby, because of our salvation story, or because of the history, the legacy in our family, because someone intervened in our life, right? We're here for Jesus Christ. We represent who he is in this world. But we also want to dig into some super practical, tactical things. What is the what that you do? Because the Holy Spirit has divinely appointed each of you guys, as we sit up here, to be in a particular place at a particular time in history. Each of us have that calling. Each of us have and shared that destiny. But let's get tactical here, because I know that that's very practical for me. Whenever I go into a setting like this, I want to know, but what are you doing? Like, you know, maybe we're discouraged this morning. Maybe we've tried a lot of different things. Maybe we just want something new and something fresh. What is that what? Because I know all of us have had different what's throughout our ministry. And God, his Holy Spirit, is the one who makes it possible. So if we know what our what is, he helps with the how. Because most of the time, we don't know. We just get in a city, we get excited, we plant an orange flag, and then we're like, what do we do next? You know, I got 30 people in my five-people kitchen, you know, five-person capacity kitchen. What do I do with these people next?
You've been watching our life, because it's...
And I'll just add to that, but younger in ministry, I used to like have these conversations with God, and I'd be like, why do you give us all the crazy people? Like, why do we have the weirdos? And why do we have, like, why are you bringing these people to us? And now I just realize people are messy, and it's not just like a unique thing for us. Like, but I used to be so annoyed by that. I'm like, why can't we get the cool people and the good people and like some normal people? And I'm like, oh, I don't think a lot of that exists. Because when you do ministry, you get messy if you're doing it right. It's not all clean and pretty and proper and glossy. It's not always like the brochure. Usually it's not. It takes a lot to ever get a pretty brochure, because you've done a lot of things and you've gone through a lot. You have a lot of grit to be able to put a glossy brochure together. You know?
That's good. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, seriously. I'm excited to hopefully help unpack some of this. And of course, David, you know, when David went on the run, who went to David? Like all the disgruntled, all the messed up people. And then there's legendary stories later in Chronicles about the mighty men, right? And so, and of course, you know, we used to be some of those messed up people. Like, what, Greg, and why are they helping us? Like, what do they got to bring to the table, you know? But the Dream Center, like, I just kind of want to hopefully play off of some of what's been said. So like the whole like not marketing, like we really recognize this huge need for relationship to bridge the gap. Cause like, okay, so Grand Rapids, I think y'all caught that, but it's here in West Michigan. And we've got all these killer statistics of so many churches around here, like nationally, and most churches on Baldwin Street and all this crazy stuff. But what we saw in our neighborhoods was you can statistically get all these churches within a mile radius. And guess what? We found out as we started engaging the people, they weren't connected, or they didn't know of them, or they didn't have trust through relationship. So collaborating and bringing services are like, well, I want to do that. And so we saw this huge need for us to fill that gap. And so like what it's kind of looked like for us, our mission is serve and transform. Dream Centers are known historically for their serve, and that's got to happen because to get God's love from the stage to the streets, we got to have action and compassion. Right. It's got to happen. But like so many, you're okay, I've made the decision. I'm ready to love. And you get out there, and we were loving well. We got some of our team here. They're probably going to laugh with us. And then you're burnt out. And whoa, are we winning people to the Lord? And just like all of us here, we were called for the gospel's sake. And so we had to grow and go, how can we get this compassion and these things feeding people and bridge it to on-ramps to the best outcome towards discipleship? And so tactically for us to unpack that, and maybe in simple terms, a lot of us are probably used to the come and see model. And sometimes our morning church services function that way, and it's very necessary. This has a part that needs to happen. But we, again, and I said it in not so many words in the beginning, we had to shift into a go and tell model. That was real everyday life, and trust God for his provision like these guys are talking about, where when you're going into these needy areas, there's two things I'd probably want you to know. You're gonna feel scared because you just don't know. You don't know. And then, of course, in some of our rougher parts of our cities or our regions, right, that's where we hear the bad news reports. And then, you know, I mean, if I'm a human, I'm going to go, gosh, am I going to get shot? You know, am I going to get caught up in something? Let's be real. Yeah. And so, but guess what? It's the greatest opportunity. Yeah. It's where, like these guys said, to bring life to an empty and a barren place. Like, this is where God dwells. This is all over the scripture. God's broken heart is, and then it's like he's challenging his people, Israel, and the church constantly. Like, essentially, he's saying, don't become a Pharisee, but go to the widow. Go to the fatherless. And so for us, I feel like it was the greatest opportunity to explode into these needs, this opportunity. And we'll talk about it more in a little bit. Like, God's provision is just so miraculous. He starts to teach you as you go, and you start to engage it. We call it, one more practical thing, and I'm going to let others talk. We call it PIPSY, though. And what happens with PIPSY, P-I-P-S-Y, and I'm not that smart. I stole that from somewhere else, okay?
You're telling
me. So... Yeah. But there's more receptivity in PIPSY, where the scary places are, than sometimes these places where people are all put together and like, I don't want to hear about the gospel. Yeah. But PIPSY, the poor, the international, the prisoner, the sick, and the young. Yeah. And it's like, man, when we find those areas, or it's like we see these barren areas, there's such opportunity there. And then if we'll just engage it and start building relationship, God will start to move, and if we get to impact stories, we'll elaborate on that.
Oh, okay. We're doing the going down the line. All right. For us, first of all, my name is Jeremy, and we are in a generation where unreachable leadership shouldn't exist anymore. Wow. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on. You can text, you can send video chat, we're on Marco Polo. There's so many ways for you to reach people. And so the age of unreachable leadership should be dying, right? And so I could just share what's happening in our church. And the reason why, and if you need a friend, if you need a text, if you have questions, just shoot them. But, and I say that because the beginning of June, our men's group was dwindling. It was terrible. We used to have, like, everyone does small groups, right? And so we would have them twice a month, and they were trash because if someone misses, you got to think about, right? Think about this. You have them twice a month for a season. But if someone misses one, you're only seeing them once a month. Is that discipleship? No, right? We were tracked, like when you think about it, we started a lot of churches, you start tracking salvations, and the Lord just showed me like salvations are great. Heaven rejoices with the salvation. But how are we keeping them saved? Yeah. Like, what's the next thing? Yeah. You know, like, how are we really putting our effort? Because we put a lot of efforts into the salvation, and then we put little to no effort in the discipleship part. And so I was talking to a friend of mine, and the beginning of June, I had this challenge to the guys, and I said this on the stage. I spoke with another leader about it. All right, I said, guys, because let's be honest, we patty cake with the men of the church. It's like, it's okay if you don't come to small group. You're busy. You have kids. We do. I mean, let's be real. We're like, oh, you got a hard job. Like, Jesus didn't do that with any of these guys. He's like, you want to follow me? Leave all you have and follow me, yeah, you know? And so, we were sitting there, and I was sitting on stage with him, and I said, and I spoke really harsh to the guys, but we needed it. I said, men, June 22nd at 8 p.m., we're having small group at my house. Every single Thursday. I said, number one, it's at 8 p.m. So if you have kids, your kids are asleep and your wife doesn't even care if you're in the house or not. Let's be honest. Once your kids go to sleep, your wife is like, you can be halfway across the world right now and it's okay. Number one. Number two, if I were to tell you, if you show up, I'm going to give you $3,000. You would be 10 minutes early, right? Some of you guys would be like, I'd be there 20 minutes early. So it shows me the problem wasn't with you attending, it was that your values are out of order. And so I said, all right, we're gonna meet every Thursday at 8 p.m. We're gonna go through 1 Corinthians, but we're gonna be men and we're gonna talk about life and we're gonna talk about mental health. The first Thursday comes, 15 guys. 15 men. And I told the men, what do you think the point of this group is? To go through the Bible? No. Creating fathers. That's the vision. That's the goal, is to create fathers to a fatherless generation. Yes. Yep. So since then, since July 22nd, June 22nd, sorry, we've met every single Thursday in my house. Last week, we had 25 men in my house. 25 men. And these are the guys that you co-labor with on Sunday that you really don't get a chance to talk to. And so you start to learn them. And then someone was asking, why your house? Because we could have did it in the building that we rent out. Why in the church? Something happens in the house that can't happen in the church building. Yes, I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. And I know it's just like, well, pastor, I don't have a house. And I understand that. Find someone else's house. Ask someone like, hey, do you have space? Because there's been this unlocking in the house where guys are just like, hey, I'm struggling with blah, 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 blah. Yep. And it's been such, and the thing is, I'm going to be transparent. It's not an open group. It's not an open group. And I know that kind of sounds exclusive, but it's not. It's saying like, no, we value vulnerability so much within this group. Right. That I can't have you come in and out when guys are just sharing their life. So it's either you're committed to this or you know what? And I tell them, I'm like, we just need to find another group for you because this may not be it. And so through that, like because of that vulnerability, and guys have this weird sense of like, all men do this. It's just like, no, I want to prove you wrong, pastor. Or like, you know, I'm going to show up and I want to be there. And so like we've had guys just share vulnerabilities and talk about like, things that they never talk about with anyone. And so that's kind of where we, as for the men's side, the women were great. They were doing this a year ago. Like,
and we were praying that this would happen, that the men would catch on, right?
Yeah.
And I think the whole point of what you're trying to say is that like discipleship is so vital for what we're going to do, because, and even what you said, okay, we go out, we go tell them, but what happens after that? And so starting with inside, discipling those people, so then they can in turn serve and disciple other people. And that's the whole key. And it's important for the men because, I mean, just example of the head of the household and leadership and rising up, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, if the man is leading spiritually, the whole family is going to be in that. And so raising people or men to be that strong spiritual leader, and then in turn pouring that into the community that we're in and raising those other people up, it's just going to be a ripple effect.
Yeah. And so that's really, and again, I'm not, you got to mitigate your energy and your schedules and stuff like that, but putting yourself out there, because anyone ever go to an area and or someone comes to your area and they preach and they do all these amazing things and then they leave and you're like, how do I reach that guy? I have more questions. Yeah. How can I talk to that guy? And so as a pastor, that's the most important thing, is like being able for someone to reach out that one-on-one and be like, yeah. Hey, it's so wild. Guys come to our house and then we'll pass it. Then they're like, I had one guy 2 weeks ago. He's like, I've never in my life been to a pastor's house. And he's 40-something years old. That's wild to me. He's like, I've never had lunch with him. I've never, like, so for some nights we have dinner prepared. Now, some of it, sometimes every once in a while the church provides it, but we put it on the men. If y'all want to eat, donate some money, yeah. Right? Yep. Either we're going to have the best Crystal's burgers you've ever had, or we're going to share this one bag of chips and have a couple cups for soda. Yeah. And so you're putting, it's up to you guys. So we put the responsibility on the men of, like, whatever's in the pot, that's what we're going to use. And so, but being that available and that someone can reach out and touch you or text you or pray with you, it's so good.
I want to jump in here, and then I do want to hear from you guys next. I just going down the line. But we were just talking about something that Danielle and I figured out along with our ministry. You know, our ministry was kind of specific. It's like, okay, we're going to go and meet people where they are. We're doing very practical mission type work, something that probably all of us know about. You know, we're going and putting in concrete floors, or we're doing aquaponic systems to help feed, you know, underserved communities, and super practical things, right? And so then when we're coming back here, we're talking at churches, preaching, speaking, doing fundraisers and telling, showing pictures, doing all these amazing sort of presentations of like, here's what we do. And then what we started finding out is that when we would make those heart connections with people, and yeah, they maybe start giving or maybe not right away, but they'd start asking questions. Well, why do you do this? What's it for? What's the actual purpose? You know, they'd send us articles on what we just talked about and say, oh, look, I just saw this in Newsweek, or I just saw this in, you know, this thing or whatever, and is this what y'all are doing? And then we'd be able to have a conversation about it. And more and more and more, the ministry of presence started to become more noticed to us, where we were like, okay, we're having conversations about the Holy Spirit. We're having conversations about who Jesus is to us, what we, you know, our salvation story is now able to come out. And what I thought sometimes was, I'm like, I'm just here to tell you about what we're doing over here. We're literally talking about the sacraments. We're talking about what does it mean to pray for someone? What does it mean to communion? What does that mean? I grew up doing that in front of the church at the Catholic Church, but what are you talking about when you say it? And getting to go into a deeper relationship, but about my relationship with Jesus. And so what we have found, and what we've really, really have tried to major on, is yes, we're fulfilling a great need in the streets, so to speak, but in our kitchen and at dining rooms and in restaurants, at coffee shops, every single day with people who originally 15 years ago or 18 years ago, we thought, well, these are just the people to kind of help us do this other ministry. We're now ministering to them. We're seeing marriages, you know, being restored. We're seeing we're able to meet them where their kids are now out of the house, and, you know, prodigal sons and daughters who, it's just like, you know, maybe there's nothing we can do right now until we just pray for them. But we're practically in people's lives. And I think the ministry and the power of presence is something we don't talk a lot about. And so that's what I love about this group as well, is I know that this group is in proximity to the people every day. It's not this thing that we talk about, it's this thing that we are being about every day. And so it's uncomfortable. We got, you know, the kitchen might not be clean today, but everyone's coming in like 20 minutes, right? Yeah. And I pull out the paint. I'm now painting the door. That was on the list 6 months ago, but now is the time to paint the door, right? That's the type of stuff we do, but it's the proximity and it's presence, and I think there's power in that.
So I just love how you know, Jesus said, let him who has eyes to see, see. I love how we're able to just to see so clearly how the Holy Spirit is really just tying all of these things together with what he's doing in his church, the Big C Church, because things that are being said are the exact same things that the Lord said to us when he sent us. And so I just want to highlight a couple of those, and I'll let you talk about it. But, you know, the Lord sent us because he said that he sees his kingdom coming in our city. And so what does that mean? You know, I think people have so many different ideas of what that looks like. And the Lord helped us to really break that down into some things. And I'm not going to go into that really a lot right now because that's really not what this time is for. But it does get very practical. But you have to, for us, we have to look at it as the Lord's told us very plainly, there's always going to be more things than you can do. But you are not the Holy Spirit. You are not this person's Savior. They already have one. So you just need to be obedient to the thing that you're called to do. And if I'm called to this one thing, and then Jeremy and Tasha are called to this thing, and Javier and Danielle, and if we all are just being obedient, then we trust the body of Christ being led by the Spirit with Jesus as the head to do the work. And so for us, we have words. So the Lord gave us that overall vision. Then he's told us certain things that he is going to do to bring that vision to pass. One of those things was exactly what Jeremy said. He said, I'm going to send you in the spirit of Abraham, who was a father, to a land that he did not know, that was unknown to him. And I'm going to send you in the spirit of a father to reach a fatherless generation. And I'm going to send you men that have the same heart of the Father. And when you have men like that, you take a city. And so what the Lord has been doing with us, we've only been there a year, you guys, and it's crazy. I'm going to let Beth talk about some of those partnerships she was talking about and how this vision is playing out. But so the heart of the Father and a fatherless generation, our men, since I've been there in a year, we have an incredible men's group. It's just a blessing. We just inherited this group of men that were just hungry, asking for something. They didn't even know what it was because they hadn't heard the revelation yet, like I said earlier. So when the Lord gave us the revelation, we started speaking to them. It just rang true. But they weren't ready. I wasn't ready. None of us are ready. And so the Lord, for the last year, you know what he's been doing? He's been fathering us. We have to learn to be fathered by God. Every good father was first a son. And so we are learning sonship. He's been taking us on a journey for this last year in our men's group, and our men are getting set free. We had our men's thing 2 weeks ago, and we saw a guy who's in his, I want to say, late 50s, early 60s, been struggling with something his entire life. He got set free sitting in a chair just like that because he was learning what it is to be a son and be fathered by God. And us men came together, got to lay hands on him, pray for him, speak prophetically the word of the Lord that the Lord's put in our heart for this guy. And he said, yes, he received it. He believed it and was, boom, set free. The next day I was preaching in church about how the gospel is the good news. And he's back in the sound booth serving like this. Yeah. That was never him. That was never him. He sat in the chair because he was talking about how he wants to get prayed for his anger issue because he cusses at people when he has road rage. He walked out of that chair a free man. Some of y'all feeling conviction right now.
And that's all the time we have.
And so the men, that's one aspect of this. And so we're just being obedient. You know, like our guys, like they're like I have some of my guys are like, okay, so what are we going to do? When are we going to? And I'm like, hey, the Lord told us the other thing is we're in this for the long haul. We're in this for the long haul. And we're going to run the race and we're going to finish strong. So I'm not going to go out and expect to see this revelation come to pass in 1 year. We're going to walk it out and let Jesus, who is the head, lead the body, and we're just going to be obedient each day. Lord, what do you have for me today? Is this the call that you want me to take? I can't be all things to all people. I can't be everything and everywhere, but the Holy Spirit is. He is. I just need to be right here, and when I'm there, be present. Just be present. People, like you said, I think that the church is drawing people into the presence of the Lord, but the people are starving for just the presence of another person. And so then we get to bring the presence of the Lord to that person when they think what they really need is us. And point them back to Jesus. The last thing I'll share, then I'll pass it to Beth to really share some of these things, is the Lord said, is so when you talk about fathering people and bringing them into sonship, that's not gender, by the way. That's, you know, we're sons in the spirit because of authority and inheritance. But we also want to speak into daughters and what it means to be a daughter of the Most High God and start adding value to people. So basically, it's this. One day, our city is going to look very different. But if we were to go out and give that to these people today, they would just have it destroyed and be right back in the same slums and huts that they grew up in. We have to teach the people what it is to be a son, what it is to be a daughter, who you are and what you are, to understand the value of what the kingdom of God in you and through you actually is. And then once that happens and we have enough people that are walking in that reality, then we can start letting that life flow through us and transform everything and everyone around us. But we can't go out there and just start building homes right now. We got to build people. We got to build communities, and then we build homes. So Beth's going to tell you some of the ways that God has been connecting us to start with those connections that are doing these things, adding value and building.
Well, now you just preached, and I'm just like, I'm going to come in with, like, details. Like, you just brought fire, and I'm like, well, so. That's like our relationship, by the way. So practically, like, it's really beautiful. So the Lord has really allowed us to partner with a beautiful ministry called the Single Mom KC. And it really is what Quan's saying. Like, we really have just felt the Lord, the words that he really spoke to us was value and worth. Like, so many times single moms walk with so much shame and guilt and condemnation. And the Lord really said, like, I just want you to set a table for them. I want you to serve them. I want, like, everything to be beautiful because they are worthy. I want you to serve them because they are worthy. I want the food to be amazing because they are worthy. Like, we're not just... they're not just there, just like they're there to be like get a practical need met, which is beautiful, but also like we're going to speak value and worth into them because they are valuable and they are worthy. And a lot of them don't feel like that. And so they get to walk into a church building where there might be some hesitation and some more, like more guilt and condemnation, right? Because they're walking into a church building as a single mom, and we get to say, no, like we love you, like you are worthy, like we value you. And so we literally set a table that is beautiful, and we literally give them food that is delicious, and we literally just serve it on their plates because they are worthy of that. And then we love on their kids, and we, even how challenging it can be at times, like, you know, we love them, and we show them value and worth. And so that's been a beautiful ministry. And there's other details in that that we get to be a part of. They have a boutique, and so we can go serve there and love on the women there, where they are just clothed. It's like clothed in with dignity is the ministry, and it's just beautiful. And so that was one of the partnerships the Lord brought to us that has been so amazing. And then another one is called Hillcrest. And Hillcrest is an amazing ministry. They call it transitional housing. So it's for people that are without homes. And the ministry the Lord really has let us partner with and put on our hearts is for the youth. So they have an amazing program for youth 16 to 24, and they get housing up to 2 years. But it's not just housing. They have just things that they have to walk through, like they have to have be in full-time school or have full-time jobs, and they get resources. And so the Lord has really allowed us to come in and like love on those kids and build relationships with those kids. And then practically we can go in there and we can get practical skills. So whether it's cooking or finances or things like that. And then we have a college right down the street from our house. And so we've got an open door there and really got to partner with them there. And so we can go do things on site there. Like we can literally just like play worship music in their community center and like connect and play games. And like, we are invited to all their events. And so we like hang out and we meet people and pray for kids. And so those are some practical ways. And the Lord has brought us, like the Lord told us that he was going to bring people because like we can't do all things. Like Quan and I are only two people. And so practically the Lord has sent us people. And he's been like, those are your leaders for this college outreach. Those are your leaders for that Hillcrest transitional housing. Those are your leaders. So then it's just being faithful. Aquana and I frequently look at each other and we're like, man, we have to like really be careful to steward this well. Like it is a gift that the Lord has given us. And we want to steward it well. Like we know that he's placed these things in our life, right? So it's not like all the things, right? Because that's we can't do all things. We're not called to all things like Juan was saying. But we know these are the specific ones the Lord has called us to. And then it's like, how do we steward that well? Because it is a gift. It is a gift that we get to partner with them. It is a gift that we get to meet these people and love on these people. And I think the common thread that I've heard so much too, just among us, is relationship. Right? Like we're building relationships with people. And like Juan even said, like we're being fathered so that we can then go father. Like we're leading as to like disciple and to father people. We've heard that so much so that those people can go out and father and disciple. Like we're making disciples that make disciples, right? Because we can't do it all, but like we're called to relationship and to community and we have to do it through relationship and community. And so, yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much. I want to ask Juan if you'll pray for us out so that we can finish. But thank you so much for being here. We are so grateful that you took the time to come into this conversation. Like I said, we are all available this week. Catch us in the hallways. Let us pray with you. Let us talk about things. Get our phone numbers. But yeah, we just want to be bring value to this partnership with Link and be available.
Thank you so much, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord. We just declare it again today that, God, you are faithful, 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 that there is none other like you. We just declare the name of Jesus over everything. Jesus, you are, so therefore we are. We thank you that, Jesus, we have our life and our being in you. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are always present, that you're always speaking and leading, that you're always comforting and encouraging. And so, Lord, today I just thank you that we didn't just share words, but, Lord, you are imparting things to your people today. You're imparting things into us from your spirit and into each other through the words that you put into us. And so, Lord, let those words go into good soil, that they would take root and they would produce a harvest of righteousness in each one of our lives, not just for ourselves, but for all those around us who will eat of that fruit and live. So, Lord, I bless your people today. May they be blessed in their coming and their going, that they are above and not beneath, the head and not the tail, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God, blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.